Good morning. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G.
We're already working up a sweat here because we're talking about changing the entire way that the NFL plays football. We've been doing this for an hour. We haven't gotten a lot accomplished in an hour, but I got to tell you, there's so much to talk about. You know, from Junior, you know, we're going to talk about Junior Seau and the tragedy of his death, obviously. I actually met him two or three times. I've taken people to Super Bowls, two Super Bowls that I participated in extremely, you know, I was extremely active in, which means I had more than 50 people there. We went to Seau's for lunch one time, and we went there for dinner. Junior was bigger than life. We're going to talk about Junior Seau. We're going to talk about the NFL. We're going to talk about the penalties that commissioner. I heard Brian Mitchell. Brian, I'm dropping your name here. My buddy Brian Mitchell the other day on his TV show called him Roger Goodell. I love that because for some reason he thinks he's God now. But you know what? In the collective bargaining agreement, the CBA, the players gave him ultimate power. And if you give somebody absolute power, you know, and you just say, okay, I don't want to go into another meeting, you can have it. I have no pity for you. That was the player's fault.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it was the guy that runs their organization's fault.
They did give them a little bit too much power. I think this is the one instance where you looked at the entire bargaining agreement and the entire lockout situation and everything that went down over the summer, and you say, oh, I'm glad everyone agreed and nobody really gave anything up. Well, now we're starting to look at that one thing where the players, you say, ooh, maybe they did bend a little bit too much to get back a little too quick here.
You know what? How the other day when we found out about it, and by the way, I might have tweeted too quickly on Junior Seau's suicide, but I went with something I trusted. And then I went with somebody that I know out there that said that at that time he was hearing exactly the same thing. And a lot of people actually went over there. You know, he lived very close to, as a matter of fact, my wife was in a restaurant the other day last week in San Diego, and he had just walked out of, she walked right past him, she said, and she knew he was somebody, but she didn't know who he was. And the guy said, oh, you just missed Junior Seau. He just walked out the door, and she said he looked fine. You know, he's perfectly happy and had a big smile on his face. You know, we're going to talk a little bit later on too, Roy, about clinical depression, what the causes are, yep, what they know about it, what they don't know about it. I can speak a little bit from a position of knowing something about it because I, you know, have probably had I still suffer from it, but I'm treated now. But I had a big time physical ailment 6 years ago, and it was caused by depression. And I thought I was dying. I mean, I really did. I felt horrible. We'll talk about that later. We're going to talk a little bit about what the heck are the Knicks doing? Have they just quit, or are they just that bad compared to this team?
Well,
they lost Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Because he hit a
stupid.
He busted his hand on a
fire.
Yeah, and you know what? If he was 14 or 15 years old, I'd understand that. But there's a guy that has a little bit of an anger issue, and a lot of people just blow it off. But you know what? When men have anger issues, it generally is a symptom of depression.
It's a very famous fire extinguisher area now because
now.
Not only Stoudemire, but last year in the Dirk Nowitzki series, the Dallas versus the Heat series, Dirk Nowitzki punched it. So this is like a ritual.
So
now,
in reality,
if you get really mad after you play the Heat, you punch this thing.
Now listen, if they didn't clean it properly, the two of those guys could have just traded blood. You know, they better be careful
of
that.
I'm Bruce Hall. Pad for that.
You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's Sunday, the day after the Washington Capitals tied the series with the New York Rangers. And I got to tell you something, man. That is going to be one hell of a series. It's going to go seven games. And I'm a Caps fan, but I like the Rangers too. And Linda Cohn, I've been trying to get you to make a bet with me since the start of the series. Okay, it's two games each, Linda. I'm gonna tweet you. I'm gonna send you a Facebook. request. And then you can get a restraining order if you want. But Linda, come on. I met you in Atlanta with Berman and all those guys. I bought you a round of drinks at the Super Bowl when the Rams beat the Tennessee Titans. And that was the Ice Storm Super Bowl, Linda, if you don't remember that. And I remember you there quite at about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you were having fun that night, as was everybody, because the only people in the restaurant were the ESPN people and all my football players I took down there, and we had a freaking blast. And Linda, I've always thought a lot of you, but you are what we call chicken. If you think the Rangers are so damn good, all I want to do is eat a Peter Luger's if they lose. You can pick any daggone place in Washington out, and I'm buying. Linda Cohn, this goes out to you. This is a challenge. Bet me. Roy.
Yep.
The other thing I want to talk about a little bit is the Baltimore Orioles. What the hell is going on with the Baltimore Orioles?
Well,
they're like
the
tied for first place in the American League East.
Yeah.
How is that happening? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Boston sucks this year. Tampa Bay is maybe a little bit off their game because they lost in extra innings last night.
Well, they're bad. I mean, they're...
But they lost to Oakland last night.
They're going to be the first team to 20 games. They're going to win today and be the first team to 20 games.
So I think you're probably right. I do have my Major League Baseball standings out. We're going to talk Major League Baseball probably the second hour. We're going to talk a little bit about hockey. We're going to talk a little bit about basketball. We're going to talk a little bit about the free agency market and who actually did come out on the better end of things. I'm not going to grade. You know what? Grading a draft, in my opinion, the only thing I'm upset with is there were three or four picks out there that I just laughed at. I had to laugh at them. One of them was this incredibly great coaching staff that is in Washington, D.C., that went 5-11 this year. And for some reason, they don't need defensive backs. They don't need linebackers. They don't need offensive linemen. They left two or three guys that would have started this year for the Redskins and took a quarterback from Michigan State who admits he's slow, has an average NFL arm, but Mike Shanahan liked him at the Senior Bowl. That's not a good enough reason. Let me tell you something. The Redskins need a lot more help than a third or fourth string quarterback. They need linemen that can block. Two of their best players are one bong hit away from missing 2 years, and one of them, I think, is gone forever. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about? Trent Williams.
Yeah, of course.
And who's the other guy?
Fred Davis.
And I feel bad for Fred. He's having a rough week. His family is. His brother is wanted for murder, and I think he's in jail. And that's sad, to be honest with you, but he is. He allegedly killed somebody, and that's got to be tough for Fred. Now, I don't even know if Fred Davis and Johnson can even go to OTAs. They can't. They're suspended, I'm pretty sure, until training practice in the summer. And, you know, these are two very good guys. You know, one was the third pick in the draft, 3 years ago? Trent mm-hmm. Williams out of Oklahoma?
He was the fourth or the fifth pick.
Yeah, but anybody that knows Trent Williams knows, you know, he's a starter in the NFL. He's a little lazy and obviously likes to smoke dope, but I'm not going to pass judgment on anybody for their... But if you know you're going to be tested for drugs, what are you doing smoking dope?
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
I mean, he's also losing a hell of a lot of money because they don't pay him when they're suspended on drug violations.
They missed about four games last year, and he was really his third time that he was tested positive. But the first or the second time or whichever one it was in the off season during the lockout. So technically, it didn't count.
Now let's talk real quick about something I thought was phenomenal last night. I actually took I was wore out last night, but Eli Manning hosted Saturday Night Live, and I got to tell you, I'm a big Eli fan anyway, because Eli has been the straight man for Peyton for so long. One of the best bits in that thing was when he threw the guys in the trunk of the car, and he called the guy Peyton, and you know, he's been Peyton's straight man forever. Listen, for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You need to give us a call. Hey, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that people are going to want to talk about. And it doesn't have to be sport. If we're talking about depression, we need you to give us a call if you know anything about it. The number's 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. If we're busy on the line, leave a message. We'll get right back to you. You can also go to brucehallsports.com. You can go to facebook.com/brucehallsports. You can always follow me on Twitter at Bruce Hall Sports. And you can follow Roy at
Sports Man Cave.
Sports Man Cave. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute. 7-11. Snake Eyes watching you.
Back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Go ahead and give us a call at 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Let us know what you think about NFL head injuries, what we should do about them, rule changes, all that kind of good stuff. Go ahead and give us a call. In the meantime, we're going to talk about the New York Giants NFL draft, what they did to improve their team, if you like the moves. Bruce, they drafted David Wilson, running back out of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, David Wilson's a ball player. He's got great speed, great quickness, catches the ball out of the backfield. May start out as like a second, third down back. May even play a little bit on first down. Depends on the health of Ahmad Bradshaw, who's obviously coming back again. They've still got Ware under contract. The Giants are Super Bowl champs. So they got it coming back. A lot of talk. You know, I almost got tired of all of the talk about OCU Mignora, about why aren't they signing OC? How come it can't get done? Yada, 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 yada. After a while, I just deaf ear it because both sides are posturing. Wouldn't you agree? They're both posturing because, you know, they just re-signed, you know, another starting defensive end. I mean, the Giants' whole gig is pressuring the quarterback. They have a phenomenal front seven. Well, definitely a front four. Mm-hmm. But they have a phenomenal front seven, in my opinion. Where I thought they need a little bit of help was defensive back, because they did lose Ross. He's gone, right? They needed – run down their picks. Who was their number three pick?
Oh, well, their number two pick was Reuben Randall, wide receiver out of LSU.
Now, and he's technically, you know, if they think that he is, they think he's Manningham. He might be a little bit better route runner than Manningham, but Manningham is a seasoned vet. Mario's been around, what, 4 or 5 years?
Something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and he sure did come into his own. Who's their number three pick?
Their number three pick is Jairon Hosley. He's a cornerback out of VT. So took two VT guys.
Yeah, he was the kid that failed his drug test at the combine. And yeah,
he's only 5'10", 178 pounds. He's not very big.
No, but you know what? He's a real good ball player, and he's a great special teams player for Virginia Tech.
I mean, he's my size.
Well, yeah, but but I'm guessing he's a little bit better football player than you are.
Maybe, but I hope
Be a third-round pick.
For the Giants' sake, I hope he's a little
bit
better.
But you know what? Hosley was a really standout guy at Tech. Who was their number four pick? Did they have one?
Yeah, it's Adrian Robinson, tight end out of Cincinnati, who I got to see this guy play in the Big East, and he's pretty good.
He's real good, and he's a big guy, too.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
You know, the Giants like those – they love those big guys. And in the Super Bowl, didn't they get, you know, like two tight ends were both hurt? Mm-hmm. Ballard got hurt, and the other kid got hurt. I mean, these guys – I just really like what they did.
The tight end position is starting to become more of a pass catching position.
That's all, folks.
A pass catching position in the NFL. I mean, we saw it with one or two guys scattered around the league, and then you started to see more and more. And now it's, if you don't have a pass catching tight end, you don't really have a threat of an offense. I mean, you look at the Patriots last year with Gronkowski and Hernandez, and you wonder why they went to the Super Bowl. Well, they had. You know, you stretch these guys out, Gronkowski and Hernandez, not only can they block, but they can catch passes. And you have to have that threat of a tight end nowadays. You have to have the dueling the dueling tight ends. And this guy, he's going to plug in well with this Giants offense, and he's going to help Eli out a lot.
I'm really looking forward to when they start playing football again, because right now all they're doing is penalizing people and talking about safety. And, you know, this past week we lost an icon in the football business. Mm-hmm. You know, we lost Junior Seau, who at the age of 43 is far from being an old man. Probably one of the most physical, best tackling linebackers and most athletic linebackers I ever saw. I was watching a replay of Junior this past week when he ran back an interception, and he looked like one of the best fullbacks that ever played. He looked like Jim Brown. He made everybody miss on about an 80-yard run all the way into the end zone. And I'm talking about juking. I'm talking about spin moves. I'm talking about this guy could have played tight end. He could have played running back. He ran about a 4.6 40. I think he might have run a 4.55. He might have been one of the biggest guys coming out of college to ever run a sub 4.6 as a linebacker. And, you know, as soon as San Diego released him, who signed him? The best defensive coach in the country, Bill Belichick. He went to New England.
Well, he was a Dolphin.
He went to the Dolphins for a year. Yeah. And no one stays in Miami. I don't know what the problem is down there. But I did. Yeah, exactly.
He took a year off playing for Miami.
but what they're finding out, and this is generally the problem with depression, with anxiety and depression. You know, I'm very familiar with it. People can suffer from depression for a number of reasons. You can lose a parent at a very early age, and you basically start showing symptoms of depression. You stay to yourself. You don't talk. You don't get out much. You look down a lot. Your downtime is too great. You're not up enough. You don't get excited. Adults like Junior that are athletes most of their adult life. Now, Junior came, Roy, I don't know if you know this, but he came from a very modest background. They lived in a house, all the children, his mother and father. His dad was a janitor at the local high school. Junior lived in the garage until he went to college with his brother because they needed the room. And everybody knew Junior Seau because he was such a great athlete. And when he stopped playing football a couple years ago, hadn't been that long. I mean, Junior was playing in New England when he was 40. Because it was 3 years ago he was still playing.
Yeah, 2009.
You know, he was 40 years old. When he left the game, God, how big of a hole would that be? Mm. It's his whole life. It's how he defines himself as a person. He went through some pretty bad times. From what I understand, I don't think he was being treated for depression. A lot of men, especially, and we talked about this when we were reading an article earlier today, women let their emotions out. Men are taught from the time they're 6 years old, don't cry, don't show that you're weak, don't do this, don't mm-hmm. do that. Let me tell you something. If you're a guy and you feel like crying, you better let it out. Because if you don't, you're just going to hold it in, and it's going to come out in a different way. You know, Junior Seau called all of his 2 years ago. I'm going to talk about the first incident. He was the police went to his house, and there was somebody had made a phone call talking about domestic battery, and it was his girlfriend. As far as I know, it's the same girlfriend he's got now. The police showed up. He agreed to follow the police down to headquarters. Went down there. They straightened everything out. She never did file charges, and when he left, he drove off of a 30-foot embankment, a cliff, down to the mm-hmm. beach
yep.
on a road, and miraculously wasn't even injured badly.
Car was all torn up.
He totaled his car.
Yeah.
But God didn't want him to go away at that time. At that time, he said God saved him from losing his life. He said it was an accident. He said he fell asleep at yeah. the wheel. I kind of doubt that's true. But then this past week, he called his wife. He called his kids. He texted them, said he loved them. Something that he does most of the time in person. From what I understand, that wasn't something he did. All of them kind of thought something might be up, evidently. But Nobody did anything about it at the time. It's Junior Seau. Everybody that had seen him figured he was okay. Sometime in the morning, allegedly, at least this is what the police think, he loaded a weapon, pointed it at his chest, turned it around backwards, shot himself in the chest. Now, to me, that'd be a hell of a way to go, because you're not going to die right away sometimes. You know, if you want to kill yourself, jumping off of a bridge that's 300 feet high would probably do the trick. A lot of people would probably take depressants to the point, sleeping pills, and mix it with alcohol, which is a deadly combination. Basically, then you just go to sleep. But he elected to use a gun, which is a very masculine kind of thing to do if you're going to kill yourself.
Well, a lot of people said that were close to him didn't even know that he had a gun.
I know. Well, which leads me to believe, like, this police investigation is going to take more than one direction.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in theory, he shot himself. He died, you know, within a couple of minutes. And his girlfriend had gone to the gym to work out. And when she got back to the house, he was laying there. The gun was not far from his body, and he was dead. He was lifeless. I don't know that she tried to give him any, you know, it's really hard. I mean, if somebody's got a chest wound or an abdomen wound, you really don't want to give them chest compressions, because it's going to force all the blood out of their body anyway, and they're going to die of shock. But he died not long after that, and it took a while to get him out of the house. And probably the most, the most gut-wrenching thing I saw out of the entire day was when his mom, who sounded a lot like my mom, who I lost her 13 years ago, and she just screamed, take me, but it's too late. Take me, not my son, not my beautiful son. If that didn't get to you, then you don't have a heartbeat. I'm Bruce Hall. We're talking about Junior Seau. I'm here with Roy G. Roy, when did you find out about it? What time did you find out? Because I think you were probably you were busy, I think, right when it happened.
Yeah, let's see, May 2nd, I was actually, I was in Rockville going around I was doing a bunch of interviews and stuff like that. And so I didn't find out until really that.
Later.
Yeah, really that night.
What were your first thoughts? Did you think suicide?
I got a couple text messages from people around the time that it happened. I thought it was a joke at first. When I first read it, I thought
until
it.
Until you saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, until I really started to see it. But the thing was, I was getting all these text messages, Junior Seau's dead, Junior Seau's dead. It was obviously all over Twitter. But when you turned on ESPN or one of the major news networks, there was no coverage. So
you know what they were doing ironically? They were talking about, you know, the head injuries.
They're talking about the suspensions, their special
news report. They're breaking news.
Yeah.
Were the suspensions for these guys.
Yeah, and so I was watching ESPN and all the major news networks and seeing these breaking news of the suspensions and seeing all these text messages on Twitter. I mean, Twitter said that Joe Paterno died a day before.
That's true.
So I'm reading all this stuff and I'm just kind of like, all right, maybe he didn't die. But then I start Googling it and see their CNN reports and like all these police reports. So it was crazy to me. At first it was probably about an hour and a half worth of Just shedding it off, saying, that didn't happen.
When we come back in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit more about Junior Seau and some thoughts. Also going to talk about an interview I heard with Harry Carson, former middle linebacker with the Giants. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. If you're hanging out anywhere near Larchmont, New York, you need to go see Eddie today. I guarantee you Eddie's probably there after church, or he's probably in there right now making pasta. He's at Augie's Family Italian Restaurant in Larchmont, New York. Best Italian food you'll ever eat anywhere. Every time I talk about this, I can smell the Italian cooking. I can just smell it. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
And we're back, New York, here on this Sunday morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going over a subject which is a difficult one to break down.
It's hard to talk about if you're a sports fan because, number one, it happened to somebody everybody knows. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody that is an NFL fan felt like, I have a Junior Seau jersey at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I bought it 15 years ago. I have a signed Junior Seau jersey that I probably paid $350, $400 for in San Diego. I love the guy.
Nobody cared about San Diego.
Yeah, well.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
That's true.
But
he was the marquee player on a very poor football team.
San Diego went to the Super Bowl when Bobby Ross was there for a year. And guess who the general manager was? Bobby Beathard. He had 28 free agents, and they got crushed by San Francisco. But since then, they've had way too many years of North Turner and ho-humness, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. I don't care. Evidently, Norv must know where the bones are buried because he just got re-signed for what? Another 3-year contract. By the way, there's news out of Churchill Downs where the Kentucky Derby was run and won yesterday.
Yep.
By I'll have another.
Yep.
Who is a $35,000 2-year-old purchase, which honestly, when I was a member of No Bets Thunder Bunch, a group that bought we had a couple of brood mares and we had a couple of foals and we bought a couple of horses here and there, and I got out of the horse business when I found out that there's only three people that usually make money in the horse business. That's trainers,
jockeys,
and they make very little unless. And if you read anything about this kid Gutierrez, this Mexican that won the Derby on Cinco de Mayo, a lot of people just wrote him off. This horse was bought for $35,000. It never ran its entire 2-year-old season. Now, that doesn't mean that the horse wasn't any good. They just didn't think it was ready. They had other horses. They were trying to get ready for other things. This horse.
That, and maybe they didn't want the horse to get claimed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They might have known that they had a little more horse there than they paid for.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that I love about this whole story. This horse went off at Santa Anita 43-1 and won the race. And everybody said, oh, that was pure luck. He had the perfect trip, jockey day. Well, they ended up taking this kid to ride him because a lot of the other jockeys that they wanted to ride him were already gone, but they took this kid because they saw something they liked in a race he rode on another horse. So this was the first time this kid was on the horse except working him out, okay? And this kid, Gutierrez, from Mexico, walks away with the roses. Well over $1 million. And I got to tell you something. This kid is going to be heard from because this kid ran a great race. He sat back. You know, the horse ran for a little bit off the pack. Bodemeister, and I've heard that pronounced two different ways. Supposedly, they don't call him Bodemeister. It's Bodemeister. It's named after Baffert's kid or the owner's kid. Oh, no, it's Baffert's kid, I think he's named after, or somebody. It's named after a kid. But Bodemeister went to the lead, and it's really hard to go wire to wire in any horse race.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in front of you. If you got speed and you can maintain your speed for a mile and a 16th, which is how long the Derby is, and you got to remember, a lot of these horses run 4 furlongs, 5 furlongs, 6 furlongs before they ever get to a mile. Then they run a mile one time usually or twice. Then they go to the mile and 16th. You know, this horse looked like it was going to win when it got ready to take the final turn. The jockey that was on Bodemeister looked back, and when he saw this horse coming, he knew he was in trouble because this horse just basically took his time. You know, he stayed back there. He got a good trip. He got to the outside a little bit early on, kind of stayed back in the pack. But when he took the lead, it was over. And I can't wait for the Preakness of Pimlico, Roy, because, and you know, your father-in-law to be
yeah.
is is uh, is a horse owner.
He's a horse trainer.
And a trainer.
Owner and trainer. Yeah.
And he works out of Pimlico.
Yeah, he has a stable in
Pimlico. And I got to tell you, I can't wait for the Preakness now because, hell, we might be able to get a pass or two and get in there.
Yeah.
The thing of it is that this guy is definitely coming. He didn't run as a two-year-old, but he sure as hell has won two big races as a three-year-old. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about we've jumped off of Junior Seau, which is a bummer anyway. I hate talking about suicides. We are going to talk a little bit. Oh, by the way, the reason I got off on the Kentucky Derby thing there for a second is I just read on Twitter where they found a body in one of the stalls at Churchill Downs. And unfortunately, we don't know who it is right now, but a lot of times, jockeys have a very high incidence of suicide.
And depression, yeah.
And I'm really, well, they cut so much weight.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys don't eat. They're bulimic. You know, they'll eat and throw up everything they just ate to make weight with a saddle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. These guys are some of the toughest human beings you've ever seen. It's sad to even think somebody might have done that, but they did find a body that they're pretty sure it's a male, and we'll have news. If we find out before noon today, we'll let you know what's going on with that. It shouldn't be too long till we hear something because there's so many people that spend the night down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm not sure what exactly happened. Like you said, we're not really sure what happened, but jockeys do have a very high depression rate, suicide rate, that kind of thing. After these guys race, think about all the pressure that they have to win. That is everything. The only reason they get paid is if they win. If they're getting 1, 2, 3, 4, that's the only time you get paid. You don't really – I mean, you get like $50 for mounting a horse. And then after the races, all these jocks go and they drink. They, you know,
oh,
party.
They medicate themselves.
Oh, yeah. They go and everyone knows.
They don't sleep much either.
Not very
much.
They
get to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning. They're up at 5:36 for a workout. Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows that when you're not eating already.
Right.
And then you go and you drink hard. If there's nothing in your stomach to soak anything up, things are going to happen. Now, I don't really know what happened with this stalls. I know that at Pimlico that, you know, they man the gates pretty well because it's not always in the best area, and there are people who will hop in there and try to sleep the night because it is a good place for coverage for
right.
someone who doesn't have a home. And then you add that in with the jockeys and the depression and everything we've been talking about seemingly across sports these days.
Absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see.
Well, I got to tell you something. I'm very happy the depression. Listen, 6 years ago I went through this. I mean, it was about it ended up being a year-long thing, but I was very lucky. Okay, I was diagnosed. I thought it was a physical ailment. I was sick. I had everything checked out. You know, I went to my heart doctor. I checked my, I checked myself for esophageal cancer. I checked everything out. I just felt horrible, and there was something that had basically been a stressor that created it for me. But I really didn't think that was that big of a deal. I just thought I was sick. I lost 25 pounds. What I did to try to keep my – what people with depression go through is their lows are so low. They literally don't come out of it. It's not like when a person without depression has a bad day. They get over it. A person with depression having a bad day has to deal with it in a lot different way. And I got to tell you, I lost my father at an early age. I had a mother – who I loved to death, Gladys Hall, one of the greatest people of all time, textbook alcoholic, started drinking the day my dad died, never remarried. From the time I was 10 to 16, my friends and my coaches became my father and my brothers and sisters. That's how I met your father, Roy. I spent more nights at your dad's house than I probably did at my house in summer. Of course, it was a lot more fun at your dad's house, and he had a lot more neat stuff. But the thing of it is that I stayed so busy with sports. I played soccer. I played street football. I wrestled. I played baseball spring and summer. I never quit working out. Never. And by doing that over a period of my life, when I got done with playing with wrestling, I started coaching. And I was busy all week long. And then when you have kids, now the kids are the most important thing in your life. So I stayed busy with my kids. Mm-hmm. Well, when your kids start getting older and going to college, not having as much time for dad, all of a sudden there's a lot of downtime. And that's when I started noticing all this stuff. And I got to tell you, you know, I did some reading. You know, I didn't just sit back. When I found out what it was, I got help. And I was one of the lucky ones. I was very lucky. And we'll talk a little bit more about depression and anxiety in a minute, but this is more important right now. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy. Get us out of here, Roy.
On the other side, we're going to be talking more about the NFL and what they need to do to prevent these head injuries. Talk more on this and the depression. On the other side, this is AM 1230 WFAS. Here on AM 1230 WFAS. That's fist pump music right
what
there.
What is this? What was this?
That's my fist pump, man.
I'm just doing a fist pump.
Fist
I
pump.
Like that.
Fist pump, hair gel, and chapstick. That's how we party.
Hey, well, let me just say this. Now we're gonna we're done. we're done with being depressed. We're gonna talk a little bit about some rule changes. Now the one thing that has
to prevent these head injuries.
You know what? This is like the unperfect storm because all this stuff is happening surrounding, you know, Bounty Gate.
Yeah.
You know, the New Orleans Saints and, you know, losing their coach for the season, losing their special teams coordinator for half the season, losing their general manager for half the season, finding four guys that got anywhere from a year to what, 3 months? Or or six games. The point about
Will's
all
four,
this
four games.
Is,
Will Smith got four games.
Is football in the NFL and in college and in high school, I got news for you. If you don't think it's a violent game, you're just kidding yourself. I love football. And one of the reasons I loved football was that I loved to fly around a field and just run through people on defense. And there's a lot of guys like that that play in the NFL. There's a lot of guys that play for the Redskins don't even like to tackle people. But I'm not even going to get into that. I wasn't one of those guys. My heroes growing up were Chris Hamburger, Kenny Houston, Pat Fisher, guys that would just, they would take a piece out of your neck on your way down.
Well, my favorite player of all time, Sean Taylor. Still,
and
this
Sean,
day. I mean, he's
and
still
Sean,
my favorite player.
And a lot of people can say Sean had a death wish. He played like there was no tomorrow. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
He played like he had a disease, and he was going to leave it all on the field every time he played. And everybody loved him.
Yeah.
There are also a lot of guys out there, the guy just retired from the Philadelphia Eagles. That was playing for the Broncos,
Brian
the safety.
Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins hit like a son of a gun.
Yeah, he hit.
Guys that are power hitters on stuff. Now the rules are slightly changing now. You know, a lot of times they'll even find people out of the NFL office or they'll throw a flag on a hit that's a good hit. Because when guys are running with a football, there's a big discrepancy, wouldn't you agree, Roy, with, you know, somebody that is defenseless and not defenseless.
Yeah, well, they're trying to slow down the game.
They really are, and I don't have a problem with that. But here's what I think they should do. I love to watch old film of the NFL and college football, of these slow white guys before there were a lot of African Americans playing
you could
the
really
game.
Relate with.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. You know, they looked like a bunch of referees in the NBA, right? So anyway, they can't call the game in the NBA because they're too slow. But what I like about those films is a lot of arm tackling. You know, a lot of grabbing their shirts and bringing them down. A lot of that stuff. I would say that back then, except for the big hit that Frank Gifford got from the big middle linebacker, Chuck Bednarik, from the Philadelphia Eagles, he was out for 1 year, people. It was the same hit that Joe Montana took in an NFC Championship game several years ago from, and I forget the defensive lineman's name on the New York Giants, but his injury report the next week said Montana-body. They didn't know what was wrong. They couldn't move. I mean, his entire body was hurt. But there weren't a lot of big killing hits. Now, the fact that they didn't have very good helmets, they had leather helmets, leads you to believe that when there was head-to-head contact, probably a little more concussion taking place. And those guys certainly, by playing that way, are not free from injury.
But
wouldn't you
not
agree that if, you know, one of the things I remember growing up, Roy, was we played football. See, we didn't have all these games, video games when I was growing up. We went out and played football every day, even during the spring. We would play football games. In the winter, we'd play football games. Snow on the ground, we'd play football games. We would go, choose up teams, play tackle football. And you know what? I don't remember anybody except for a bloody nose or a cut lip ever having to go to the emergency room, ever. Yeah. And you know why? Do you know why? Because we knew just how hard to hit the other guy to not injure ourselves and him.
Can I ask
we
you
just
a question,
dragged
though?
Him down.
Can I ask
you
a question?
You can ask me anything you want, Roy.
How many running plays did you use? How many
tons of,
how many offensive linemen did you have?
Well, here's the thing.
I've played backyard football too,
yeah.
And you know what it is? It's the quarterback standing 4 yards
it's
back
like,
and saying everybody go
It's
deep.
Like 7-on-7, but we didn't play that way. We threw a lot of short passes and we did run the ball a lot. Now back then to get a first down, you wouldn't know this because you probably didn't play that much.
Played backyard
football.
All right.
How'd you get a first down? Three completions?
It was two.
It should be three completions.
You
punt.
You played a halfway line and you got one first down. The only way you got the first down was passing that.
All right.
That
now, for all the people listening,
right,
for all the people listening right now, imagine the difference between Roy and I right now, if you look at both of us, is I'm two of Roy. Okay, and most of the guys
well, you,
I played
you a couple more donuts than me.
It's got nothing to do with donuts, Roy. but the thing of it is that a lot of the guys that I played street ball with weren't my neighborhood guys. We would get seven or eight guys from Wakefield. We'd go to Bluemont Park and get seven or eight guys from WNL, and it was a grudge match. But I got to tell you one thing. Now, wait a minute.
Okay.
I want to tell you one thing. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about, can the league do that? Could the NFL
no.
See, I'm a firm believer, and then I'm going to let you talk. I'm a firm believer that if the league decided tomorrow to, and you and I were talking about making rules a little, and we were really coming up with some good stuff, you would have to protect your hands.
Absolutely.
You would have to protect your because everybody's going to wear turf shoes. In this new league, everybody would have the same kind of field, too. Now, you might
not. Well, that's expensive.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's not that expensive for a $1 trillion corporation. We're getting a new field at South Lakes High School. I don't know how we can afford it, but we're getting $1 million turf field. Here's the thing. I would go watch the Redskins play the Giants if they didn't have any pads on.
Well,
because I would love to see them play the way I played.
Well, you're a the thing
I'm
is
a
the,
what?
They're a diehard.
So you
and there's not many diehard sports fans in any sport. I mean, yeah, there's football.
The people that fill up.
Yeah, but how many
NFL
people,
games are all pretty much diehards?
That's not true.
Well, they're all season ticket holders.
I mean, take a look at
someone owns the season tickets.
Well, take a look at the Redskins Park when they're apparently sold out. There's a quarter of the park actually there.
That would be Dan Snyder.
Yeah, that's football in general. That's football across the country. Whereas if
you ever been in New York to a football
you're not
game,
if you're not very good, nobody goes to the games.
The Giants fill it up every game.
When the Giants,
because there's 8 billion people who live there.
If the Giants went 5-11
before they
I
won the Super Bowl, Matthew, soccer boy.
If the Giants went 5-11, there wouldn't be as many people there as if they were 10-6. It's
true.
The same at any NFL stadium, and the way that you get people in is you promote the big hits, you promote the high scoring games, you promote this game that is infectious.
Now those same big hits that you're talking about, and you're absolutely correct, and I agree with you. I mean, there's two sides to this. They got to come up somewhere in the middle sooner or later because there's so many lawsuits now being attached to head injuries on former players. This could cripple the league.
They stopped. And you remember a couple of years ago, there was Jacked Up on the four-letter network. And it was they play the biggest hits. And now it's
– But see –
What is it now? It's like, what did he – that's messed up, man, something like that. What is it? It's like, you screwed up. I don't even know what it is. Because nobody cares.
Come on, man.
Like, you're an idiot.
Come on.
It's like blooper
man.
Reel, you know?
I love that.
Which is funny, you know?
Yeah, but,
like,
but listen, Roy,
ha, ha, ha,
Roy,
but I'd rather see
pretend,
somebody get
let's
jacked
pretend
up.
Pretend like Roger Goodell, because he thinks he's God now. Let's say the commissioner calls me to cuss me out, and I go, hey, don't cuss me out. Let me and Roy figure out a game that will save you billions of dollars in claims, and people will still fill your stadiums up. And Roy and I would sit down over a week's time, and I guarantee you, look at me, between you and I, because you want the equipment and I don't, mm-hmm. we'd come up with some kind of equipment that we'd love to watch, still go watch these guys play. Yeah. You know, one of the reasons women don't like football is because they're all wearing a helmet. They can't see their faces. Women love
women
baseball.
Like the butts and the
women
legs.
Love baseball because they're, most of them are pretty decent looking guys because they got enough money.
Women love baseball pants. They do. I mean,
they like tight.
I live with one. I know what they like. All right. Well, sometimes I know what they like.
But here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, when
sooner,
they tell me, Alan.
We're getting off track here, guys. Women like to see men's faces. I think they're more, and they do like to see their bodies, but the bodies would still be, would look good. You mm-hmm. know all of those Under Armour commercials yeah. that have all the wide receivers that are built like brick, you know what's, that look good in that kind of equipment? Mm-hmm. You and I discussed we'd need to make pads for the hands, because you could get your foot run, your hand well, if, run yeah, over yeah. if you're on the ground.
If you're playing that
it's
grab.
Also, you can get scratched, because they're still going to be trying to hold you. Like, if we played a pickup game outside, Roy, we'd be grabbing each other's shirts, we'd be getting underneath each other's arms. The referees would still have to call holding. They would still, it would be different because you couldn't, there's nothing to reach up and grab. There wouldn't be any pads. Mm-hmm. We also said there'd have to be thigh pads because there still would be big hits on the legs. And the legs would actually start be getting hit a lot more than what? The upper body, which is a lot better. You're better off being hit in your legs unless you hit a knee.
Well, if you
if you wrap somebody up right, he's gonna.
If you ask the players in the NFL now, they would much rather be hit high than they would low. That's been discussed on Twitter. It's been discussed all over the place.
Well, that's because they bounce off. Look, if somebody tries to hit me above my waist the way I'm built, they're going to bounce off.
Exactly. So,
hit me with their helmet under my chin, I might not remember anything for 2 hours.
Would you rather be hit up high, or would you rather have somebody come and try to put a helmet or a shoulder into your knee?
Well, in the new league we're talking about not doing that. This is Bruce Hall. We'll be right back. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Back on the street. Did my time. Took my chances.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. We're talking about NFL rule changes.
Yeah, we are.
That would help with injuries.
Yeah, and it's going to help with the lawsuits they're looking at. And it's going to help with a lot of things because right now there's a lot of really good, some excellent writing being done by NFL beat writers. Some of them women, saying that they're not going to let their kids play. They're not going to let their kids play football. And because, listen, if this is something that is a side effect of too many helmet-to-helmet hits, too much brain trauma, you know, so to speak, Roy, parents aren't going to let their kids play football. It's just not going to happen. You know, we were looking at a lot of different things. There's just so many factors that go into safety for football. One of the biggest problems is the helmets are all different. You have 30 high schools in Northern Virginia, for example. You have 30 different sets of helmets. Some of them are the same as others, but they're not all as effective as others. It depends on if they're air pumped up, yeah. if they're the new technology, if they're the old technology. Mm-hmm. The thing I hate the most about all that stuff is how nasty it gets. And as a wrestling coach, I have to clean my mat every day. Football team doesn't clean any of their stuff ever. And that can be a problem, yeah. too, with infections.
Each individual person takes home their own equipment.
Well, you know, that doesn't happen in high school, not anywhere I've ever seen.
Yeah. When I played high school football,
that's your high school. We take
your helmet and your shoulder pads and all of your pads. You take them home with you, or you put them in your locker, they're yours.
Oh,
you
no, don't. They stay in your locker. That's where they stay and fester with all the bacteria.
Well, I took my helmet, my shoulder pads, every day at a high school.
Well, I see 60, 70 kids, and their stuff stays in their locker, and it stinks. As a wrestling coach, I can't do that. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what would we do to make it safer. Now, let's say we took My idea, people, is take all the equipment off, except what you need to protect yourself. Roy and Matt both disagree with me. Yeah. They say it couldn't happen. But you guess what? It's going to happen somewhere between those. Unless they design, Roy, and you and I talked about this, if they design a helmet that, like, literally is super, like, you know, something you'd send to the moon, you know, like if they can put equipment on a man in a space capsule coming through, you know, the atmosphere and burning up, you'd think they could design a helmet that would refract. Is that the word, Matt? Refract or deflect.
Redirect.
Or deflect the impact that a force makes to a head and then put it somewhere else. Now, Buster Posey, for those of you who don't know him, is a catcher in the major leagues. He wears a hockey mask. And hockey is having some real problems with concussion issues, too. Mm-hmm. They've almost stopped it. You almost can't go up high and hit anybody anymore. If you do that, you can almost go to jail. I mean, that's how bad it is for hockey. Who is the best guy, the guy from the Pittsburgh Penguins? What's the guy's name with the Penguins?
As a Capitals fan.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. What's the guy's name with the Penguins?
And I'm answering it, but as a Capitals fan,
thank you for answering it.
I like to say that he's not the best player in hockey.
All right, well, let's just say that one of the best players in the league, I would say, is Sidney Crosby.
Yes, one of
the
best.
All right, Sidney Crosby has basically not been a player for 2 years. Why?
Because he's a big puss.
No, really, why? Why? Why, Roy?
Because the Capitals lit him up. And
no, it wasn't just the Capitals. Yeah, it's everybody.
Well, that was his first.
It's
is the
everybody,
first
but it wasn't even the first concussion he got.
Yes, Sidney, it was. It was since they played the New Year's game at the Pittsburgh Stadium at Heinz Field. It was the Winter Classic. That was when he took his first boarding.
All right, answer me this, Roy. Yes or no? Does hockey have a problem with head injuries?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. That's all I wanted to make sure. All I'm saying is this. They should be able to design a helmet that's better than the ones they're using now. If they can't design a helmet that's better than the helmets they're using now, they need to change the game. And in my opinion, changing the game might be going backwards in time and taking equipment off of people so they couldn't launch their bodies full speed at somebody like they had, so that you make penalties even more, just, you know, a lot more penalizing, meaning 15, 20, 25 yard penalties for any hit above the neck.
Well, that's what hockey started to do. I remember when we went to the game. It was game 6 against the Boston Bruins when that was at Verizon Center, and you were saying, oh, back in the day, we used to be able to hit them.
Well, you know what? It wasn't even so much that, but they played a lot better defense. Well, were better, too.
It was a lot different of a defense. Now
you're
getting rid of the boarding. You're getting rid of, you know, these big hits that come in the middle of the ice. You're getting rid of these things that historically have caused the problems of concussions. The concussion that happened to Sidney Crosby that you're talking about was a boarding penalty. Well, it should have been a boarding penalty. You can't do that.
And his helmet went right into the side. Well, boarding is a severe penalty, and it should be even worse than they. It should be a game misconduct, in my opinion, because when a guy doesn't know you're behind him and you go full speed and drive him into something that really doesn't move, like the wall of the rink, you know, you probably should sit down for a while. Because that ain't right. Now, a lot of guys in hockey, they do take dives just like they do in soccer. You know, some guy will touch him with their stick and he'll look like he got tripped.
Yeah.
He'll look like he got hooked. There's a lot of that goes on.
Well, you play into the rules.
But we're not talking about hockey right now. We're talking about football. Mm-hmm. In football, don't you think, Roy, you and I could sit down with a group of people, might have to be a person from every NFL team, and it might have to be, Roy, somebody that's a trainer. Somebody that's on the side of being a healthcare person, and talk about what could these guys wear and still get away with being a very physical, fun game to watch. And I think that's eventually where it's going to get, because like you and I both said, a lot of our buddies that we played street ball with, pickup games down at the school, they weren't even football players, and they had fun because they're just doing something with all their buddies, doing this, doing that, and the other. And even those guys didn't get hurt. Why? Because they were pusses to begin with, and they wouldn't hit hard. But in the NFL, I think everybody pretty much is somewhere between a 9 and a 10. If we're talking about football talent in the NFL, and we just went through a draft, right? We're talking about some pretty damn good athletes. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Even the big guys are pretty good athletes.
Yeah,
I think they could. They need. What do you think?
What you're talking about is, I mean, backyard football is a high scoring.
No, but
you throw the ball around.
No.
Like,
you wouldn't change the actual rules that much. You still have kickers. Hey, you know what?
You wouldn't need kickers if you take care of the big hits. Then kickers become obsolete because you're scoring touchdowns. I mean,
I'm not talking about 7-on-7. I'm talking about still running
that.
The football.
I know what you're talking about.
Still talking about running the football.
Yeah,
and you still can't hold, and you still can't clip.
I understand.
And you still can't do all those things. You still can't, you know, there's still going to be guys jumping off sides. There's still going to be guys that are forgetting the counts. You're still going to be getting 5-yard penalties. You're still going to get 10-yard holding penalties. You know, you're going to get all that. It's just that you're not going to be doing it with a helmet on your head.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing it looking like a human being as opposed to looking like a gladiator.
Okay, well, you talked about hockey and the concussion problem that they have.
Right.
They
used to not play with a helmet.
Right, and now
Rod Langway never wore a helmet.
And now they still play with helmets, and now you're seeing concussion problems just as big. I mean, the
exactly.
thing that New York – or that New York – the thing that the NHL
Bettman.
Did
– Gary Bettman, yeah.
The thing that the NHL did was they enforced penalties differently. Now, if you want to see an actual change in concussions and things like that in the NFL game, you're going to have to start seeing penalties, new penalties, or the changing of rules like we have already started to see with the no launching, the no head-to-head, these kind of rules, the kickoff rule. I mean, it's not a very fun rule, but it's a safety-oriented rule.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And here's another thing that we're going to see. We're going to see that happen at the high school level. We're going to see that happen at Pop Warner level. We're going to see that happen definitely at the college level, because every college Division I player that goes to school, what does he go to school for? He wants to play in the NFL one day if he's a prospect. Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about changing the game as we know it in the NFL. And I got to tell you, I know I give Roger Goodell a hell of a bad time because I think he dropped the ball with Sean Payton. I'm perfectly okay with everything he's doing, and I know what he's doing. He's back. He's protecting his rear end because there's attorneys out there right now that haven't eaten in 3 days and are foaming at the mouth because they can't wait to get the NFL. Can't wait to get him in court. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute. This is AM 1230 WFAS.
And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS. Smells like teen spirit in here.
We're talking sports.
Right? That's what that is, right?
It's Hey, I got three words for you. Brute, stick, deodorant. That's free for Brute. Hey, listen, we're going to talk about baseball now, my favorite subject during baseball season. Roy and I are going to we're going to talk about this. It's going to be on the website, brucehallsports.com. It's going to be on my Facebook page, facebook.com/brucehallsports. I want to know if you think that head injuries are going to be a major problem in getting kids to play even at a Pop Warner high school level from now on, and if you think that something has to be done immediately about it, and what, you know, and some of your ideas, what do you think needs to be done? Do you think that we could play at every level without a helmet on? I personally think, yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. You might not be as handsome. You might have a few bumps on your face, but you know what you're not going to have? You're not going to have head trauma, not nearly as much of it, because people use their helmet. And like I said, I'm 58 years old, and I remember some of the best times I ever had. I broke 2 face masks in one game, and that was fun for me because I was a defensive back. And back then, you did hit hard. That was the time of Jack Tatum. Bruce Hall, we're talking about baseball. Roy, let's talk about your favorite subject, Washington Nationals.
Yes, sir.
They're for real.
I hope so.
You know, in the National League right now, and we're going to get to the Mets here in a minute because the Mets are playing some ball. I've also got my rankings. I'll have my rankings up today. But right now, and don't laugh, you can't laugh, my number one team in the National League is the Washington Nationals. They got the best pitching. They haven't even started hitting like they're going to hit. They're going to send their second baseman down to AAA. They're going to probably put a kid that's been phenomenal since they brought him up, Steve Lombardozzi. He'll probably play second. And when Mike Morse comes back, he'll be in left field or first base. I mean, he's going to get a lot of playing time. Now, they're about 3 weeks away from coming back. But it and supposedly Zim's off 15-day DL today. Now, yeah, whether
he was supposed to come back. They scheduled for him to come back this weekend.
You know what?
And held him out the first
They
two
may
games.
Bring him back tonight because it's going to be a big crowd over there. It's a Sunday night game against the Phillies. So it's on ESPN. If you look at the third base coach, I'm the guy right behind him standing up, giving him a boatload. I'm in the first row right there. I'm Bruce Hall. Let me just tell you this. That is one tough – look at their division. They got the best division in the National League.
Oh yeah,
Washington's leading. You got Atlanta playing lights out. Chipper Jones in the last three games has like 9 hits, 10 RBIs, 3 home runs, and 6 or 7 runs scored.
He's
and
playing
this is
like
a guy
the old
that wasn't
Chipper.
Even going to play. Yeah, and you know what? And your boy Hayward's starting to hit the ball a little bit, yeah, like he did his first year. In
he's
the league.
Looking good again. I mean, the Braves are young. And they're
they
going to be something.
They got more team Prado. They got, you know, they have a good team, and they've got good pitching too.
And they got good young pitching.
Yes, they do. Now, is it as good as Washington's? Yeah,
no,
probably not.
I don't think so.
The New York Mets. I'm proud of the Mets. The Mets have done fine. They're 14-13, 4 games back of the Nats right now. You know, I think Terry is doing a phenomenal job. Their coach has done as good a job with them. And how about David Wright, the guy that we were worried about was going to even come back from an injury. They thought they were going to put him on the DL a week and a half ago. He played through the injury, and he's hitting. He just got off the 400 line yesterday because he went 0-for-4. David Wright from Chesapeake, Virginia, one of my favorite players of all time. You know, used to play with Zimmerman and Upton and all those boys down on these travel teams in Virginia Beach. You got the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, if you think the Phillies aren't done, I think you're in denial. Because
I wouldn't call them
done. Well, they've got good pitching. Like, their pitching hasn't been as good as they thought, but I guess it was Blanton that threw yesterday, or the other guy, the other big fat white guy. What's his name? The guy that threw yesterday for them.
It was like Kershaw, or I don't even know what the guy's name is.
No,
it was their sixth. He was a young guy. He was filling in for Cliff Lee.
Yeah, he looks just like Blanton. Blanton, both of these guys had an ERA in the ones. Yesterday, we lit him up. Jason, we shut all, you know, it was Take Back the Stadium Day in Washington. And I'm telling you, there were a lot of Philly fans there yesterday because the Caps had a home game. Now, if you don't think, you know, championship Stanley Cup hockey affects another sport in your town, put them 2 miles apart and give them about half the same fan base. Mm-hmm. And it does. But we had over 30,000 people at the baseball game. And, of course, they're sold out over at Verizon Center. Not only did the Caps win, but the Nats put it on Philly yesterday. And Jason Worth hit a 3-run bomb to pretty much put them up 3-1. And then there were a couple of more home runs. Bryce Harper. Let's talk about Bryce Harper. Youngest guy in the majors, maybe one of the most dynamic kids to come along in years. I think back about 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds playing in the major leagues. I think about Robin Yount. Robin Yount came out of high school, first player drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers, and he ends up starting at shortstop in the first game he played after the high school playoffs were over. Okay, Robin Yount, Hall of Famer, 3,000 hits, phenomenal player. Didn't hit a ton of bombs, probably hit 250 bombs. Bryce Harper is going to be, this is going to be the kind of line you see on Bryce Harper at the end of years. You're going to see a kid that hits 30 home runs, maybe 35. He's going to score maybe more runs than he drives in on this team for a while because we don't have a lot of OBA guys yet. You know, we're still playing guys that are still searching a little bit for their sticks. Wouldn't you say, to a certain extent? Desmond is playing great. A lot of people wanted him gone. He's young. He's a shortstop. He could play center field if he had to. We got Rick Ankiel in center field. Him and Bryce Harper maybe have the two best arms in the National League, and they're playing side by side. Bryce is playing left field. Now, Bryce Harper was on the cover of Sports Illustrated 3 years ago when he was 16. The chosen one, they called it.
Okay, I don't like that.
This is a kid that his religion is Mormon. He comes up from a very hardworking family. His dad's a steel worker. He plays everything as hard as he can. He knocked the ball out of a catcher's mitt the other night to score a go-ahead run. And he was out by 20 feet. It was old school. He drilled the guy, knocked the ball out of his mitt, scored a winning run. He hit the wall twice in the same game, not even getting all of it. He didn't even square it up. He's batting third for Davey Johnson. Now, Davey Johnson, for those of you that don't know.
He batted third yesterday. He had been batting like seventh or something like that.
No, but he's batted third now for two games in a row.
Harper?
Yes.
He batted seventh on the
Yeah, that was like three or four days ago.
Friday night.
He batted third. He batted third Friday night because that was the – no, he batted third – I went to the Washington Press Club on Friday afternoon. Guess who the speaker was? Mike Rizzo. He batted third Thursday night. He batted Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This will be his fourth game batting third unless he bats fourth or second. Jason Wirth is batting behind him. This is going to help Wirth and it's also going to help Bryce.
Well, because Tracy was batting behind him.
Well, Chad Tracy is going to play once in a month. Chad Tracy, by the way, played for the Arizona Diamondbacks, played for a couple of other teams as he got older, was really badly injured his leg. I think he broke his leg. Chad's an East Carolina University alum, just like I am, was a great player in college, and he is fitting right in. He hit a bomb yesterday.
Yeah.
Hit a two-run bomb.
Guess
who else hit a single bomb? Center field. Desmond. 7-1 was the final score. They look great, and they're going to be tough. Then you get to Miami. Now, Miami was a team everybody picked. They spent all the money, right? Ozzie Guillen, they brought him in, and they're struggling, but they're 12-14. This is a team that if they win 9 out of 10, they could be in first place.
Well, they're going to be bottom of the – I said that after the whole Ozzie Guillen thing that they were going nothing but downhill, they're going to end up last in the division because there's just
that's
way too –
That's your call.
I just don't see them coming back from – They already have so many big personalities on that field, on that team, and trying to mesh and everything like that. And then when Ozzie goes out and destroys the fans and just kills any momentum that they already had, I just don't see them coming back.
I'll tell you what, though,
they've
got some bangers and they have some decent pitching. And you're right. I don't think this is definitely their year.
Maybe in another division.
I think it's going to be Atlanta or Washington, especially if Chipper stays healthy. Now, you look at the Central Division. I said a long time ago, St. Louis is going to run away with it. Hey, not so fast. Cincinnati's playing some ball. Now, St. Louis is three games out in front, basically. Cincinnati's struggling because their pitching is hot and cold. There's just too many question marks in Cincinnati's lineup, especially with their pitching staff. You know who the surprise team is there right now? Two teams. Pittsburgh is getting great pitching. They're like second in the league in pitching. And you know who else is getting great pitching? The Houston Astros. And they have Jose Altuve, who may be one of the most interesting stories that you're going to hear in baseball. He's a tiny little guy, but he's going to make it to the All-Star game this year. In the West, you got Matt Kemp and the LA Dodgers basically dominating a very good Arizona, San Francisco group. Colorado, San Diego, I don't see them being there late.
No.
Colorado, you know, they supposedly put all of their new baseballs in the humidor that they've got in the clubhouse. The ball was flying out of there last night. I want to say it was 13 to 12. I think the final score was 13 to 9. And you know what? The ball was flying out of there. Now, they had tornadoes in Colorado last night. But that's still, I mean, the other night, the final score, I want to say, was 9 to 8. They're scoring a lot of runs there, but they got no pitching. San Francisco Giants are struggling a little bit because they got Pablo Sandoval out, Kung Fu Panda. He's out probably for at least 4 weeks with a broken hamate bone, the same one he broke last year. And one of the reasons they say he's breaking this bone is because he doesn't hold the knob isn't on the end. He's not on the end of the bat. He's past the end of the bat. Hmm. So he's taking the knob of the bat and putting it right in the middle of his hand, and it's breaking his hand. So if you see your kids doing that, don't let them do that. There's a bone they don't need in their wrist. They're going to break, and it's going to get infected. But when he comes back, they'll be fine. I think they should put Buster Posey at third base. He was an all-ACC, all-American shortstop his freshman year at Florida State. He's not a shortstop in the major leagues, but he's certainly a third baseman. And let that switch hitting catcher rookie catch for him. The kid's hitting over 300. Put him behind the plate more often than not. San Diego, to hell with San Diego. They suck. In the American League, we're going to talk a little bit about is New York, are the Yankees, are they done? Lost Mariano.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Jeter hitting four, Jeter went 2 for 5 day before yesterday, Roy. lowered his average to 404. He's having the best beginning of a season I ever remember him having. And a lot of people thought this might be his last year. I don't see it. It's not going to happen. Baltimore is surprising everybody. They have the same record as the Nats. They're 18-9, and they're what, 50 minutes apart, 45 minutes apart. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is on the south side of town. Nats Park is on the north side of town. You can just take literally the Baltimore-Washington Parkway straight up East Capitol Street, and you're there.
The difference between Baltimore and the Nationals is Baltimore is not a young team. Baltimore is a mix-up of old guys.
Yeah, they've thrown a lineup together, but you got to understand, even for that, you got to give it to Buck Showalter, who I don't like anyway. And he just – didn't he sweep the Yankees this week?
Yeah,
he did.
They swept the Yankees.
They swept the Yankees. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS, we'll be right back.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS.
We are back.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And we've been going over these scores of the basketball and the Knicks, man.
You know what? If you can get I'm going to give you a game right now if you're listening. This isn't even one you have to write down. If you get the Knicks under from 9 or less, take them. I mean don't take the Knicks. I'm sorry.
Take the Heat.
The Heat, this is it. They're going home. I mean, they're going to go back. Four games. They go up again. I mean, you know, they might as well, right? Who are they going to play next round?
The I don't know. Well, we got to see them. It's still very early in series.
Yeah. Anyway, the thing about the Heat is that this is over. Roy picked the Heat in Oklahoma City, and I agreed with him the first week we were on when we started talking about the NBA this season. After what? I mean, true, Dallas isn't Dallas. It's the first time in the history of the NBA, by the way, that a team that won the championship did not win one playoff game. And you know, the Dallas Mavericks are a well-run organization. They just don't have enough smoke this year. You know, Dirk Nowitzki can't do it by himself.
No.
And plus, look where they play. They play in the West. Mm-hmm. That's not the East. I mean, the East... I'm going to tell you something.
These is top heavy.
Oklahoma City is more physical than anybody else out there. Yeah, even the Memphis Grizzlies are more physical than most
people. The Grizzlies
are
good.
Well, the Grizzlies are what? Are they 3-2 in their series? That the Memphis Grizzlies last year, I had a chance to go see them in their building in Memphis because my son was in school there. I had the best time that I had had at an NBA basketball game since Elvin Hayes played for the Washington Bullets. And I'm not kidding. That place was like a college environment in Memphis. Yeah, there were 20,000 people.
The Clippers actually lead the Grizzlies 2-1.
It's 2-1.
Yeah,
so it's still
the Clippers pulled one out by 1 point last night.
Well, you know what? I don't see the Clippers beating the Grizzlies.
No,
but evidently, I mean, they're out in front 2-1.
I mean, every
Oklahoma
single
City,
one of these series,
whoever wins is going to lose to Oklahoma City.
Oh yeah, I mean, all of these series are so early, and the only ones that are over. I would say the Sacramento season is over. The Spurs lead 3-0 over the Jazz, the Jazz. The Jazz shouldn't even be in the playoffs. And then OKC, like we said, they swept Dallas. And then Miami. Miami's up 3-0. Pacers are up 3-1 over the Magic.
Wade's healthy, too. I mean, I saw him play the other night. He looked great.
Yeah,
you know what? There was a time then I was wondering if he would make it to the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then you look at every other series. Boston leads the Hawks 2-1. That can go either way.
Yeah, and Rondo's the key in that series.
You look at
the Bulls.
The Bulls trail Philadelphia 2-1 right now. I mean,
Chicago's not a bad play today.
Chicago is a very good defensive team. Now they don't have that. Derrick Rose is obviously out for the rest of the time. They don't really
them.
Have
that's
a
where their points came.
Yeah,
from.
They don't really have a secondary scorer. They have a bunch of other guys that you would rank in the B- area for scoring, but that are great defensively.
Right.
Joakim Noah is a great rebounder, great defensive player.
He has great hair, too.
He does have great hair. So, I mean, that series can go either way. The Lakers, Denver. Now, the way that series has looked, it's all Lakers. But it's still very early, like we've been saying, a 2-1 series. Denver could still pull that one out.
Friday night, they put it on the Lakers
with your boy JaVale McGee over there playing for Denver. But the Lakers, I mean, Kobe Bryant, you cannot count Kobe Bryant out. Plus Pau Gasol, I mean, these guys have been there. They understand the game. It took a little bit to get out of the triangle offense that they had and really make a transition over. But you're starting to see the Lakers come out in stride. Kobe came out and said, "We're going to win this thing. We're going to win it all."
And you know what? You got to think Kobe's taken a few games off because he's been so up and down. Everything Kobe's doing right. You forget how many years he's played in the league. He's played since he was 18 years old,
and he's still going strong. Man.
Yeah, he's not physically that old, but mentally he's probably beat up a little bit.
This dude's gonna play forever. He is.
Well, that's what he said he was gonna do.
I don't see him slowing down. He was 38 points off the scoring title this year and didn't play the last game. I mean, I don't see any signs of Kobe slowing down. The dude is still putting up numbers. He outscored LeBron. He outscored Dwayne Wade in the season. Kevin Durant was the only player in basketball who outscored him this year. And Kevin Durant is a freak. I mean, his OKC, which, I mean, Russell Westbrook is a very, very good basketball player.
You know what? They have, I like the big kid that blocks all the shots for them. I mean, you know what? The thing I love about Oklahoma City is they have role players. Everybody on that team knows their role. Even the guys that come off the bench know what they're there for.
Oh, yeah.
And they
deep.
Do it. You know, they may be the best coach team in the league. I think having Durant helps.
Well, yeah.
I mean, because you got a 6'11" guy that could play point guard if he had to. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the best athlete in the league.
He's a freak.
He is your MVP.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care. You know what? If it's the Mavericks and it's Miami and Miami wins, LeBron's not your MVP. It's Kevin Durant. He's done it day in, day out, all season low, mm-hmm. all season long. And this kid is around for the duration. It's going to be unbelievable. Hey, are you going to go now tomorrow night in Madison Square Garden at 7:30? There's a pretty big hockey game.
Yeah.
Are you going to go up?
I would love to go up.
You know what? I'd love to go up,
I just
too.
Finished my...
I got to look into that.
I just finished my semester of sports education and psychology where I was writing... I wrote a 20-page paper over the weekend when I was...
Yeah, I know you told me. I felt sorry for you because you said... I think I asked you to go to a ball game you couldn't go or something.
Yeah, I couldn't go.
You know what? When the Nats are in town, I loved it. Now, I'm going to see my daughter play softball here in a little while, but if they lose that game, I get to come back tonight and I get to go see the Nats play. And it's Nats anytime... I wore my San Francisco stuff to the Nats game.
That.
Well, I wore it because anytime I can throw it in the face of, you know, because I was in Philly for Game 6, and I have a great story to tell one day. I won't tell today because we've got so much to talk about the rest of the program. I don't want to tell this story. It was a great story about, you know, people trying to intimidate you in a bathroom. And really, be honest with you, even though I haven't had a drink in 28 years and I'm on antidepressant medication. Pretty much most every day. I'm not the kind of guy you want to start swinging in a bathroom because I will hit you at least once. And especially if you're wearing Philadelphia Philly stuff and you're drunk. You know, the last thing, you know, it's bad enough having to deal with people from Philadelphia, but having to deal with drunk people from Philadelphia, that's kind of like going to hell and the devil goes, "You can do anything you want to this guy, you won't get in trouble." And you know what? You want that to be a Philly fan, I'm just telling you. But I wore the green St. Patrick's Day Giants jersey, T-shirt, and I think I had Giants pants on too. I think I got the same ones I got on now. As a matter of fact, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I've got a change in the car, and it's all the Nats stuff I bought yesterday. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, the thing I like about what the Nats are doing is they are marketing the crap out of this team. They really are. You know, very similar to the way the Phillies marketed the crap out of, you know, the great teams they had with Utley in there and, you know, back when they had guys that we recognized. Not so much now. I'll tell you a guy I really like is I love the kid that they got from Houston, the big right fielder. He's a stud. Absolute stud. He's like 6'4", 215, 220 pounds. That was the guy that I wanted is in the free agent market in Washington instead of Jason Worth. I wanted him. And this kid, this kid is Hunter Pence is who I'm talking about. I saw him play in San Antonio when he was in AAA, and I loved him then. And I even bought a Pence jersey that was from the San Antonio Hooks. Oh, I'm sorry, they're the Corpus Christi Hooks, AAA team for the Houston Astros, and I'm telling you right now, those were, they had some of the best jerseys I've ever seen. I bought one for a kid named Kevin Pence and gave it to him. His dad was my buddy. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about, we didn't talk about the American League, and I want to get to it because, you know, I want to talk about the Yankees. Mariano Rivera. Look, everybody's going, what's he doing shagging balls in batting practice? He's been shagging balls in batting practice his entire life. Mm. As a matter of fact, when he grew up in the islands, you know, what did Mariano play? He was a shortstop, just like everybody else. And he pitched. And, you know, he not only shagged fly balls, he shagged ground balls at short. So, I mean, don't get mad at a guy because he's a baseball player. But he is out for a year.
It's a freak injury.
He won't be back for a year, and he said yesterday he's coming back.
Yeah, he said
if Mariano says he's coming back,
I believe him.
That's good enough for me. Tampa Bay, you know, struggling a little bit with the bats. Hey, their third baseman is out for the year. And he's, and he, you know, and I mean, not the year, I'm sorry. He's on the 15-day DL, but they're saying it's 60 to 90 days. And that's not good news for them. I see Baltimore hanging around with a little bit of pitching they got. Look, they've gone. They went to New York, won three games.
Yeah,
they've been in now. They've been in Boston 2 days. They won both games on the road in Boston.
Well, Boston's a mess.
But they sweep both teams for the first time, I think, in almost history. I don't remember the Orioles ever doing that. It would have had to have been a long time ago.
The Orioles had some very good teams in the 70s.
You know what? The Orioles might have had good teams, Roy, but for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm going to give you some games. I'm teasing you now. I'm going to give you some games to play today in the major leagues, and I'm even going to give you a couple of basketball games. Be right back.
And we're back, New York.
I remember this song.
Here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. And we told you we're going to give a little bit of picks, and we will before we leave today.
Yeah, I might get into it right now because I just got it. I just got a feeling. Hey, you know what? Let's see if we can't get to New York tomorrow. Can you get a pass, you know, from babysitting?
I'll
get a pass from your bride-to-be?
I'll see. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, if I can get tickets, I'm going up. You know, one of the guys that's involved with the garden is a good friend of mine, and he was in town this past week. Hey, you ready? Here we go. I'm going to give you the National League games. I'm going to start right here in Washington. I'm going to give you Jordan Zimmermann. They're 3-2 when he pitches. He's got a 1.89 ERA. Jordan's going to beat Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels is a big crybaby. He wears Phillies red. Take Jordan Zimmermann, he's probably minus 140, minus 120. Take him. The Diamondbacks are at the Mets. Cahill has actually been pitching better as of late with the D-backs. You know, they lost. The Mets won yesterday. Dickey is a knuckleballer. I'm going to pass. Matt Latos, his ERA is starting to look like the Matt Latos of old. He broke down last time against the Pirates. Charlie Morton has a 4.22 ERA. The Pirates are actually a better team than the Reds right now. If you can get them even up, take the Pirates. If not, leave it alone. Cardinals are at the Astros. I'm going to pass because both pitchers I don't like, Wainwright and Happ. Dodgers are at the Cubs. Harang, who's been around everywhere in the world, is pitching. They've got a kid named Wood on the mound, a left-hander. It's not Kerry Wood. He's a righty, and he's like 35 years old and is in their bullpen. I'm going to pass on that game because I don't know this kid. And the Cubs won yesterday for a change, so they might just think that they took care of business for a week. I don't know. They're not very good. The Braves and the Rockies. There's going to be probably a ton of runs scored in this game. You got a great starter, Beachy, for Atlanta, going against Nicasio for the Rockies. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Atlanta on the road here because Chipper Jones is on fire, and I think you can get them probably minus 120 in this game. Marlins are at the Padres. I'm going to pass. Both teams going nowhere, even though Ricky Nolasco's 3-0.
Where are you going?
You know what? They're
nowhere.
They're in San Diego. It's just too obvious. It looks like a trap to me. I'm going to pass on that. Even though Whelan's 0-4 and Nolasco's 3-0, it'd be a perfect time. Sundays are generally times when things happen that don't normally happen. And the Brewers are at the San Francisco Giants. The Giants, they're either one game under or even. I'm going to take the Giants only because they need the game. Matt Cain, the guy that just signed the biggest contract in the history of baseball pitching about 3 weeks ago. Matthew's only making $21.5 million a year for the next 5 years. Not bad. 6 years, excuse me, for the next 6 years. I'm going to take the Giants there. Let's get to the American League. Now, this is what all you people want to hear that are downtown right now. The Orioles are at the Red Sox. Can the Orioles sweep the Yankees and the Red Sox? Can that possibly happen? What does everybody think? You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say you daggone Skippy they can. I'm going to take the Orioles here for a little bit. They're actually getting runs. Or I'm sorry, not getting runs. They're getting points from the Red Sox. They're plus 120. White Sox at the Tigers. I'm going to pass on that game. Both teams, who knows? Rangers at the Indians. You know what? The Rangers won yesterday. They got Darvish throwing today. Guess what? He's minus 250. They can probably destroy Cleveland, but I'm going to pass on the game anyway. This kid's due to lose, even though he's 4-0. Athletics at the Rays. They got a kid, Malone, who, by the way, the A's got Malone from the Nationals in that big trade earlier this year for Gio Gonzalez. Gio Gonzalez won for the Nationals yesterday. I think that Malone is not going to win. I think that Moore is going to win for the Rays. They lost their second game in 15 tries yesterday. The Rays are going to win today. The Yankees are at the Royals. If anybody but Luke Hochschaver wasn't pitching for the Royals, I'd take the Royals. Because yesterday, the Yankees acted like they didn't even show up. They lost 5-1. Hughes is starting for the Yankees. Are you ready for this? His ERA is 7.48. But Luke Hochschaver's 7.36. It's a toss-up. Going to be a lot of runs scored in this game. But I think Hughes is due for a good game. Take the Yankees today. Blue Jays at the Angels. Well, you know who we didn't talk about? Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols is having the worst year he's ever had. No home runs to this point in the season. He's hitting under 200. No, I'm sorry. He's hitting under 100. And
he's got a bingo number?
Can I tell you what? Do you know what else he's doing? He's got four RBIs. You know what he did yesterday? He took the day off. His coach told him, Mike Socia told Albert to not even pick a bat up. You know what I think?
Well, he needs to do something.
Let's talk about Albert just for a minute or two. Because people that love baseball love Albert Pujols. He left St. Louis, which is where he's played virtually every inning of his major league career. There was a comfort level in St. Louis. If you've ever been to St. Louis, Roy, it is one of the greatest places to play baseball, and there is. Is it a lot better to play baseball there with the fans there and the way that they take their than it is in Anaheim? You betcha. Anaheim is Disneyland, okay? St. Louis is the Cardinals. I'm telling you. The St. Louis Cardinals, the people dress up in red. Every game they show up, it's been sold out for like years. Albert has gone to Anaheim. He doesn't have the normal guys that he usually works out with. He doesn't have Mark McGwire, and I don't like McGwire because he cheated and he took steroids, and I hope he's never in the Hall of Fame because I don't like the way he played that with his kid and all that crap. You know, that's one of the reasons I hate Bud Selig. But the thing of it is that Albert is not an athletic guy. Albert doesn't have a great body. There's a question whether he is 32 years old or not. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just don't think that when he gets in a funk, he's going to be able to get out of it. They can pitch around him in Anaheim. In St. Louis, he had a group of guys around him that pretty much protected him. Now, they don't anymore. But everything's moved on. Now, Albert, has he gotten paid? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's he making? $25 million a year? It's ridiculous.
He's making way too much.
And not only
for the numbers that he's putting up.
Yeah, he's making like $5 million per RBI so far. Albert things are going to get a little bit better, but not much better for Albert. And in my opinion, the guy that started there yesterday that hit a bomb that was one of their best hitters last year, should be playing first base anyway. I mean, this kid is one hell of a ball player. And the thing that I like most about this kid, honestly, is I like the fact that you know, he had a good year last year. The Angels have a lot of good hit. They're old, the Angels. They're going nowhere. They really are. Cleveland is winning the Central. Detroit, who everybody thought was going to go to the World Series in the American League this year, possibly 13-13. They're getting no pitching except for Verlander. Chicago is playing. Hey, Adam Dunn hit his eighth bomb yesterday, Roy. He's hitting almost three. He's hitting 300.
He's crushing the ball.
Well, he's comeback player of the year. Look, when you hit 164 in 500 at bats, all you got to do is hit 250 and you win comeback of the year award. Kansas City, they're done. Minnesota is getting ready to set a Major League Baseball current time record of scoring the least amount of runs in five games. They're done. Cleveland is not going to be there. Detroit, anything can happen. That's going to come down to Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago. The Texas Rangers are running away with the West. They're five games out in front of Oakland, Seattle, and L.A., who should end up in second place, but they're not going to catch Texas. Do you agree? The Rangers are too good.
The Rangers are very athletic. Rangers,
and it looks like Josh Hamilton isn't hurt as bad as he thought he was.
The Rangers are sick.
He tweaked an oblique the other day. But the Rangers have too much pitching and too much hitting and too much.
They're athletic. They're all
too
around,
much chemistry.
They're an all-around athletic.
Well, they look
team.
Like a football team, yeah, by the way, when yeah. they play. I mean, Michael Young is the smallest guy on the team. He's 6'2", 220.
They're beast.
He's my size. I'm not little.
I don't want to see the Rangers. The Rangers have a chip on their shoulder. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder too. They've been in two straight World Series and lost both of them. I mean, there's people in that clubhouse who know what it's like to succeed and fail at the biggest level.
Let me give you a recap of my plays for today. Take the Nationals with Jordan Zimmermann on the mound. Take the Pirates with Charlie Morton on the mound. Take the Braves on the road to score another double-figure game and support Beachy and get a win in Colorado. And take Matt Cain and the Giants at their place. In the American League, you know what? I can't take the Orioles. I'm sorry.
It was a good act.
I hope you stayed listening to the show because I released the Orioles earlier, but I just can't do it. I don't know. Buchholz. You know what Buchholz's ERA is? 8.69.
I mean, it was you put on a good act for the New York people.
Yeah,
like
I did.
Screw
I,
Boston. I, yeah. yeah. All right,
hey,
maybe.
The
okay.
White Sox and the Tigers pass. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm taking Yu Darvish, and I'm taking the Rangers. They're going to win today.
Yeah, of course they are.
Yu Darvish. Do you know what Yu Darvish does on the mound? He changes his grips on pitches, and he changes his arm slot during a game. He doesn't have a pitching coach because nobody knows how to coach him. The guy is a phenomenal player. He's much better than anybody else that's shown up from another country so far. The Rangers at the Indians, take the Rangers. You're taking the Rays to win today, take Tampa. You're taking the Yankees, Philip Hughes, good luck with that. God, please, Philip. And that's it. That is it.
Those are your plays?
Roy.
I got the Kings in hockey to end up the series. I got Martin Rodor and the New Jersey Devils. To take down Philadelphia.
You know what? I almost took them today, too. They were even. Mm-hmm. Dead even.
I got Kobe. Kobe.
I can see.
They're playing Denver, obviously.
Yeah,
and,
they should win.
They're going to go 3-1 up in that
but
series.
But what do you think about the elevation? Does that not bother him?
I got double.
Well, you got to take the Bulls. You got to take the Bulls today.
Series 2-2. I'm sorry, New York, but I got the Heat. To own.
Well,
you.
I mean, I think New Yorkers are betting on the
series
Heat today.
Is over.
I told you if it's nine or less, take the Heat.
And I got Boston to tie it up 2-2 over.
All right, let me ask you this: tomorrow night in Madison Square Garden, can the Caps do it again?
Yeah.
You sure?
I said at the beginning of the.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the Rangers. You take the Caps. If we go to the game, we'll let everybody know on our Facebook page. If you want to meet us, we'll even tell you what seat and row number we're in. If we get beat unmercifully, we'll know who to go after.
I said the Caps will take it in seven, New York, and it's still going to happen. Alex Ovechkin, what?
You know what? I love the way that you know, For those New Yorkers who remember Dale Hunter and what a cheap shot artist he was when he played in the National Hockey League, he's a much better coach. And he's in the Hall of Fame. They hung his jersey.
His jersey's up in the rafters.
They hung his jersey.
I wouldn't say he's a much better coach yet. Okay.
I love what he's doing with Ovi, though.
They've won one season.
He's got Ovi so ready to go in that when he goes in, he goes crazy.
Well, they're definitely playing. The thing that I like about the Capitals that they're doing right now, and I don't want to turn this into Capitals Network, but they're taking the strategy of the opposing team and doing it against them. I like that. They did against Boston. They're doing it against the Rangers.
All right, New York. We'll see you later. For those of you that are listening to us on your computers and streaming us, this is Bruce Hall and Roy Edwards signing off. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.